It's lovely to be here with you all. Obviously bring the greetings from Waitakere with me and from Alex and the family. Unfortunately couldn't make it with me. It's probably they've heard this exhort too many times. It was good. I saw Mark yesterday afternoon when I came down and we were like, oh, I've got this exhort. Alex has said, do this one. I like that one. And I was like, have I done this one? When did I do this one? Mark's got it. Up with the list. No, you did this one here and you did that one before. I said, okay, good. We're good to go. Thanks, Verity, for asking about the hymns, which I duly was driving and didn't do anything. And how funny, the two hymns in my mind were 379 and 434.
That's your favourite. The last
bit. Oh, there you go. I thought, well, God's in our working in our lives. No, it's okay. It's just text. I too also technology I don't trust, so
yeah, paper works as really well.
Yeah, in case you know, out of battery powers and all sorts of business, but yeah, anyway. The title of this exhort, which I wrote about 6 months ago, was Running the Race for the Kingdom, and it's around the Olympics that were transpiring at the time, or post when I wrote this in August of last year. And it's this theme that I want to resonates with us in our walk of faith. And it's you know, every 4 years the world comes together to witness these athletes from all over the world and all these different nations that come together for this the games. And the last one's held in Paris, you know, and the family and the kids and that, they get together and it's a bit strange. It was a bit harder this time, I think, with the timing, but, you know, you see the replays and that, and it's, I don't know, it just gets talked about at school, and it's a single focus point for a brief amount of time. And, you know, the Kiwis punching above their weights at times have always, you know, in medal contention, so adds that little bit of fizz to our interest. You know, you can't help yourself get that proud feeling, you know, watching them win or just even competing for such a small nation on that great big stage. And if you think about these athletes that we're going to think about, as you know, they're the best of the best. They've trained for years, most of them for their entire lives. They didn't wake up at 18 and go, oh, I think I'm going to be a long-distance runner, or I've decided I'm going to be a weightlifter. It's probably been instilled in them from a very young age, four or five even, mostly, I would think. You know, and they train and they basically hand their lives over to this training regime, whether it be running, swimming, whatever it is, but for this chance at medals and for this chance of glory of representing their countries, and you know, that chance to on a world stage show their personal excellence, and that dedication and that perseverance and focus, these qualities are what we as followers of Christ can learn from and apply to our own spiritual journey. The Apostle Paul, you know, he likens, you know, I'm going to go to these verses, but he likens that journey of faith to a race. And in Corinthians, he writes, chapter 9, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And that's words for us. It's not saying we should run like them, but that training, the way they are and what their goals are, we apply to our lives, because we are chasing that crown of life that's incorruptible, which is the promise we've been given. And it's the same discipline and determination that we kind of need, as we just as, you know, they train rigorously and making sacrifices for that crown that they chase, we are called to run our race with the goal of obtaining that incorruptible crown, which is the eternal life in God's kingdom. And, you know, we think of the Olympics, we think it's the sporting pinnacle, it's the highest achievement, basically. And these athletes are pushing their bodies to the absolute limit. They're striving for perfection in their performance. They spend years, decades in preparing and honing their skills, and conditioning their bodies and disciplining their minds. And all for a race that for some may last 10 seconds. That's it. Some are hours, some of those long distance ones, but they're all chasing that that one thing, which is that piece of gold, silver or bronze that basically tells them, and according to their speed, is that they're the top. They threw it the furthest, they jumped the highest, they ran the fastest or the longest. You get the point. But they're chasing this, you know, this medal that eventually, in time, will fade away. And I think there's even stories of the ones from Paris. They already have started wearing away, so they're having to get them recoated or whatever. But you know, Paul reminds us we're striving for something far greater here. Our goal is serving a heavenly Father, and is instructed, and also hopefully receiving that eternal life in the kingdom of God, which is a reward that will never fade. It will never tarnish, and it'll never be taken away. So training for the Olympics requires immense dedication. Athletes wake up early, endure grueling workouts, they follow very strict diets, and they constantly push themselves to the limit. I don't know if you've ever done hard training of any kinds. I've done some in my time. And where I've pushed it to the limits and ended up vomiting vilely just because I'm so spent in energy. It's not a very nice feeling, and something that can turn you away and never go back to. So similarly, our spiritual training, minus the vomiting, training involves, you know, this regular prayer, this regular Bible study, this fellowship and this cultivation of Christ-like qualities. Hebrews 12 says this for us. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So just as athletes shed that unnecessary weight to run faster, we are called to lay aside the sins and distractions that hinder our progress spiritually. Our focus then is always on Jesus, who is not only our example, but is also our coach. He's, you know, his Father in heaven, they're guiding us every step of the way. But I guess, what does it mean to train spiritually? Just as athletes have this brutal training regimen, this regime, we too must have this spiritual regime in our lives. This includes the basics, right? We all know this, the daily prayers, where we communicate with God and we seek his guidance in all things. It includes reading and meditating on the scriptures, where we find nourishment for our souls and our directions for our lives. And it, of course, includes fellowship with our like-minded believers, where we encourage one another and build each other up in the faith. And it includes service, where we put our faith into action and we show the love of Christ to others and to those around us who are struggling. And it's not always easy, this training. It's not easy at all. There are days when we may, well, no, me, I'll speak in the I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like engaging in fellowship. I couldn't care less. And there are times when the demands of life are just overwhelming for me, and the spiritual disciplines feel like an absolute burden. But just as an athlete pushes through that pain and that fatigue and that demoralisation, we too must push through these small and large spiritual challenges we can face. And we remember that training is necessary. If we are to ever run this race effectively, we have to put in the hard yards. And it's through their spiritual disciplines and that we grow in our relationships with God, in which we strengthen our faith and prepare ourselves for challenges that lay ahead. Because they're going to be challenges. They're going to sneak up and they're going to surprise you. Those are the ones. We are in perfect form if we can see all the issues coming towards us, because we can deal with them. We've got time. But life doesn't work like that. One of the most inspiring aspects of the Olympics is witnessing those athletes who persevere through these incredible challenges. Whether it's an injury, which can be 4 years, you know, basically you miss a window because of an injury. If they've got age on time on their side, they may get back to the following 4 year cycle. But whether that setback or even a loss or getting knocked out or just that injury, these athletes press on. They're not done with what they want to achieve. And often there are some stories where they achieve greatness despite all the odds that are stacked against them. And in our spiritual race, this we face these challenges, these temptations and trials and moments of weakness. Paul encourages us in Philippians where it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's very important when we've got eyes, and that God designed us, we have eyes in the front of our head. We don't have eyes in the back of our head. We're not meant to look backwards, we're meant to look forwards. And if we're looking forwards, we're keeping the eye on the prize. We're pressing forward when the race was tough. And when we stumble, but we must never give up. The journey to the kingdom requires perseverance, and we are not alone in this race. God is with us, providing strength and encouragement. You saw it in the reading this morning. Jesus, God's Son, was dripping sweat like drops of blood, right? So big, thick, heavy, you know, the anxiety, the fear, the pain, the stress of what was on his shoulders. And he was comforted by angels, he was comforted by his Father, and he pressed on and saw through what he needed to see through. He had to go through with what he did. And he struggled at that point in time, but he was uplifted. His disciples were asleep. The people in his ecclesia that were around him, there to lean on to help him, they were asleep because they were also broken. They'd had enough. They were tired and probably didn't have no idea what was going on and just were struggling. So he was alone, but he wasn't. He had his Father there with him to strengthen him. If we consider marathon runners of the Olympics, they run, I think it's 40-something kilometres, 40 k's, who endure physical exhaustion, muscle cramps, and you know they run these things in extreme weather conditions. And yet they press on. It's one of the things, I mean, I don't mind running for 10 seconds, or it'd be longer than 10 seconds, but a marathon, just people that do Ironmans and triathlons, like my brother-in-law, it's just like, oh, kill me now. But you know, I just couldn't think of anything worse. And this is probably because I just don't have that mental stability to do 1 foot after the other, after the other, after the other, and just keep going and going and going. But these guys, though, they know every step. They're probably counting each step and how fast they're making these steps. What else have they got to do? They've got so long to think about it. But no matter how painful, they also know that each step that they're making brings them closer to their goal. The finish line isn't drifting away in front of them, it's getting closer. Each time they're going forward, it's reducing that gap between their goal. And, you know, likened to our spiritual journey, in times in your life, you're going to be thinking it's a marathon and you're going, I can't do it because I can't see the finish line, it's too far away in the distance. But know this, every step you're making towards the kingdom, it's getting closer to you. And God will reveal it in his good time. It's not a sprint though. I've seen this personally, where people get baptized and it's a sprint. And then it's, you know, they calm down, they slow down. Well, some, unfortunately, they drift away because they've expended all their energy and efforts in a very short space of time. We know it's a continual process, like I've exhorted you before, of continuous improvements, the same thing. It's not, you know, one and done, set and forget. It's none of that. It's not that sprint. It requires endurance. And we're going to feel tired and we're going to feel discouraged and we're going to get tempted to give up. But we keep our eyes on the finish line. And every step of faith, every act of obedience, every moment of perseverance brings us closer to that glorious day. And then we will hear that one day the Lord will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And discipline is at the heart of these athletes' success. Without discipline, even the most talented athlete, with all the talent in the world, all the muscle fibres and everything in the right places, if they don't have the mental discipline, they're going to fail. They're not going to reach their full potential. And it involves self-control. It involves sacrifice and the willingness to push oneself beyond the comfort zone. Paul says in Corinthians, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And he understood that the discipline was essential to maintaining his spiritual integrity. He knew that without self-control, he would easily fall into temptation and be disqualified from this race. And the same is true for us. We must exercise discipline in our spiritual lives. This means saying no to sin, resisting that temptation, and making sacrifices for the sake of our faith. It means prioritising our relationship with God above all else, even when it is difficult. And you know, in some of these Olympic competitions, it's not there's individual achievements, but you know, many of the events, as it's expanded from the Greeks, it's become team-based. There's a lot more team-based races that are run or canoed or swum or whatever, and you know, it's where teammates have to work together to achieve the goal of success that they're striving after. If one falls down, they all fall down. And this is the powerful reminder of the importance of our fellowship and our unity in our ecclesial life. Hebrews says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day coming. So we're not running this race alone. We're a part of a team in God's family, and we're here to support, encourage and lift each other up. And just as a relay team may pass the baton smoothly to succeed, we must each help each other stay on that course, sharing those burdens and celebrating the victories together. And in that relay race, each runner has that crucial role to play. If one runner stumbles, the entire team is affected. And that success depends on each member doing their part and supporting each other. And in the same way, our success in the Christian race depends on our willingness to support and encourage one another. We must be willing to pass that baton of faith to the next generation and encourage them well, to mentor and to guide those the younger generation through, and to lean on our brothers and sisters when we are struggling ourselves. And that Christian race is not meant to be run in isolation. We need one another, and we are much stronger together when we're all pulling in the right direction. And we have this danger of distractions. You know, athletes remain focused on their goal. We too must be vigilant against these distractions that can pull us off course. And the world is full of distractions. Brother Presider Jeff has already mentioned the world and the chaos that it is and the craziness that goes on. If we allow ourselves to be distracted by it, we invite temptations. Just like we read in Proverbs this morning, we're inviting wisdom or we're inviting folly into our lives. These temptations, these worldly pursuits and cares of man's world, the life that we're involved in, that can divert our attentions from our spiritual goals. And Jesus says this in Luke. He says earlier in the chapter 9, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus calls to be single-minded in our pursuit of the kingdom. Just as an athlete keeps their eyes on the finish line, we must keep our focus on Christ's return. Distractions will come, but we must not allow them to pull us away from our purpose. As we saw, Peter had kept his eyes on Jesus when he was walking on water, he was able to. But the moment he became distracted by the tumultuous wind and the waves around him, he began to sink. As long as we keep our eyes on the promise in Jesus, we can walk in faith and overcome these challenges of life. But when we allow ourselves to be distracted by the cares of the world, we too will begin to sink. And so we must be vigilant, guarding our hearts and our minds against distractions and keeping that focus on the kingdom to come. Now, the ultimate goal of every Olympian is to stand on the podium, receive their medal and hear their national anthem played and watch the flag of their country being hoisted up the mast in the middle. For us, the ultimate victory is to hear our master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Revelation says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The crown we seek is far greater than any Olympic medal. It is the crown of life and the promise of that eternal life in the kingdom. But like any race, we must finish it. We must endure to the end, keeping our faith strong, our hope alive, and our eyes fixed on the prize. Imagine the joy and the fulfillment of standing before our Lord on that glorious day, knowing that we have run the race with perseverance, discipline, and faith. And imagine the overwhelming sense of accomplishment, not because of anything we have done in our own strength, but because of the grace of God that has sustained us every step of the way. This is the victory that awaits us, the crown of life, the eternal reward of being in the presence of our Creator and Saviour forever. So just wrapping up, and we continue our journey of faith, let us draw inspiration from the discipline, perseverance and dedication of these Olympic athletes. Let us run our race with purpose, shedding the weights that hold us back, supporting one another and keeping our eyes fixed on the prize. May we all, by God's grace, cross the finish line and receive the incorruptible crown that awaits us. Let us strive daily, not for earthly rewards, but for the eternal joy of being with our Lord forever. And as we partake of that bread and wine today, let us remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He ran the ultimate race and secured the victory for us. May we follow in his footsteps, running with endurance, discipline, and faith, until we too receive the crown of life. Amen. Thank you.